Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Onshore wind, offshore wind, solar projects, overhead transmission lines, gas turbines, green hydrogen, modular nuclear. Developing the country's electricity sector could require the completion of 350 large projects over the next 25 years, never mind introducing legislation to prevent blocks to planning permissions to achieve those targets. The Irish Academy of Engineering has today published a report that outlines what they think will be required if Ireland is to achieve climate neutrality by 2050. And I'm joined by Eamon O'Reilly, Chairman of the Energy and Climate Action Committee of the Irish Academy of Engineering. Eamon, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Pat, and now, thanks for the opportunity.
We could talk engineering all day, but we actually should talk money, fines that are coming down the track if we don't do something.
It is extraordinary. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council and the Climate Change Advisory Council recently published a report, and they are saying that by 2030, so our report looks to 2050, but by 2030, just 5 years from now, Ireland will have to meet a liability of somewhere between 6 billion and 21 billion euros.
And no one's talking about it. Except the Fiscal Council.
Except the Fiscal Council. I look at it, Pat. It seems we need a banking crisis, and the numbers involved in bailing out banks to get outrage or to get discussion or debate. 6 billion to 21 billion is still an awful lot of money that the country is going to have to pay.
Is it too late to do anything about that? Have we not put enough planning permissions for solar farms or for offshore or floating wind farms in place to actually achieve anything by 2030?
I think the fundamental problem is that policy in Ireland and policy in Europe was written in a panic. We have said that we're going to become climate neutral. It's actually an Irish law, climate neutral by 2050. Interim targets were set. As if...
Did we design this stick to beat ourselves with ourselves?
I don't know what happened there. I think it's a really interesting question. What inputs did Ireland have to the decision-making that put in place those European policies? We probably will never know.
But those specific targets where we are penalised for not reaching them in monetary terms, did we actually design those targets for ourselves, those sticks to beat ourselves?
We certainly agreed to them. I don't know the details, Pat. It's a really good question. But we have agreed to them. We're not going to hit them. And we're going to have an enormous liability of not less than 6 billion euros in just 5 years.
Now, the scale of the challenge of construction and design and implementation by 2050 is enormous. You reckon, what, some 350 different engineering projects?
Yes. What we tried to do is to pull together some sort of picture of what is the actual challenge. We think our estimates of the number of projects are reasonably conservative. We didn't want to try and create headlines for the sake of creating headlines. So 350 projects are probably needed to be completed by 2050 to get us as close to net zero as it's possible to get with the technologies available to us.
Now, at the moment, we are using a mixture of energy provision, including hydrocarbons. We're still using hydrocarbons and will be for quite some time.
Yeah, well, this morning I checked at 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock this morning, 59% of our electricity came from gas, 11% came from coal. We import 10% and 17% came from renewables. Now, on a beautiful morning like this, before the sun has really got up, you can put in as much wind as you want. You probably will still not be able to get all of your electricity from the wind.
But this kind of lovely morning, there's precious little wind, actually.
There's very little wind.
Yeah, there's some sort of temperature inversion that is going to stop the wind from blowing.
Well, in our report is written by engineers. There's inevitably there for lots of numbers. But we looked at last year, we ran an analysis of every quarter hour over 2024. And for 2,127 hours in the year, that's equivalent to 88 days, wind was producing less than 500 megawatts, right? The maximum demand last year was about 6,000 megawatts. Minimum demand was about 2,500. So we were getting nowhere near the minimum demand level on 88, the equivalent of 88 days last year.
So we always need, number one, when the wind doesn't blow and on a dark night when there's no wind, you're getting nothing from solar, you're getting nothing from wind. The alternatives are burning hydrocarbons or importing energy via the interconnectors or storage.
Or storage. Well, if we take those three elements, interconnection last year, we imported an enormous amount of our electricity, 15% of it. About half of that came directly from Wales on the East-West interconnector. The other half came from Scotland into Northern Ireland and then across the border into the Republic. And the figures are in our report. So we have quietly developed an enormous dependence on interconnection. Now, and if that increases, we see very little scope for Ireland to be an exporter. Rather, the interconnection is going to be great benefit to us to import. If you take the storage piece, the storage, there's an awful lot of talk about storage, an awful lot of work going on. Whatever storage we have in terms of batteries, those batteries typically have 2 hour capacity. There's battery project up in Donegal, which is coming, will come on stream in the next year or two. That might have 100 hours. Now, 100 hours of storage or 2 hours of storage is never going to be enough to get you through those beautiful summer days or those beautiful winter days when you have a high pressure. You have maximum 8 hour sunshine in the month of December. So you could have a week, 2 weeks or 3 weeks when renewables cannot give you what you want. But the really important point, I think, looking at the figures in the report, you can see quite clearly that for many, many hours all through the year, renewables cannot give you what you want. And if that's only for 6 hours, you still have to keep the power going for those 6 hours. Mm.
And we are vulnerable. I mean, we don't know whether any hostile forces might decide to disrupt our interconnectors below the sea.
Yeah.
I mean, security issues there.
We've tried to cover a wide range of issues, and energy security we tried to deal with. Our view is that Ireland should have a very low dependence on interconnectors as the ultimate source of our electricity, for the very simple reason we do not control what's at the other end. And in fairness, if you look at Airgrid's reports, they will derate, is the phrase they use, they derate the interconnectors when they look at what capacity we have to service Ireland's needs. But I think this is important enough with all of these extra interconnectors getting built. This needs to come right at the top into policy. Government need to listen to the experts in the electricity industry and say, we agree that Ireland must be able to produce its own electricity in all circumstances.
Now, what do you make of the declaration that Ireland is the Saudi Arabia of wind?
We're a little bit sceptical about it. I think that's a really unfortunate phrase, actually. There has been a lot of talk about it. If you break it down, the amount of wind and electricity from wind that Ireland can produce will only ever be a very small fraction of what the market we look to export to might wish to have.
Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
The second point is we had a policy, a memorandum of understanding signed by Pat Rabbit and Ed Davey. I think it was about 2008. We referenced it in the report. And there was an MOU set that we're going to build interconnection. Now it's become an exporter. Nothing ever happened. And in those intervening years, Britain built 14,000 megawatts of offshore wind. an extraordinary amount. So Ireland is never going to be the Saudi Arabia wind. And I think it's really important to take this concept out altogether of the policy discussion. If there is such a potential, then the private sector will invest in the offshore wind farms and in the interconnectors at their risk. But that's not going to happen. So we should put it to the private sector. Anybody who believes we can be a great exporter, off you go and do it. Give them the opportunity to prove it.
And even though they have built floating platforms in the North Sea, for example, which is hostile enough, the Atlantic might be a different beast entirely.
Yeah, the Atlantic might be a different beast. I was brought to my attention at the time. I used to work in the port and shipping industry, but there was one of the projects, the pilot projects, a place called Kincardine. And I can remember one of the turbines had to be towed back to Rotterdam to get fixed. And the figure I heard in the industry was 10 million euros to tow it back. Now, if you put an awful lot of turbines off the west coast of Ireland, you're going to be bringing them back into the Shannon Estuary. So it's not going to be 10 million to bring them in. But you are going to, you have this phenomenon called towback. That is a real part of the operations of offshore wind farm. The extent of that is not yet understood in terms of its impact on the viability, the financial viability of projects. There are huge hurdles for floating offshore to overcome yet.
Now, in the meantime, we have to look at our solar resources, our wind resources and so on. We've got to say, yeah, suppose they're not available to us for whatever reason. We still need to meet the base load. And, you know, coal will be gone, oil gone. So it'll be LNG probably and whatever bits of gas we still have in our reservoirs offshore. And we've stopped looking for more.
Yeah, I think that there's a really important issue that needs to be addressed. Government, and it's very welcome, have accepted the need now for an LNG plant. I think there's a piece of work that needs to be done. What size of LNG plant are we talking about? We think what's been talked about at the moment is just not sufficient. We need an LNG plant sized, capable of being expanded to meet our requirements in 2050. In the likelihood, not certainty, in the likelihood, we're still going to be burning natural gas in 2050. So at that level, you need to be able to store vastly more than the proposed floating storage regasification unit, the FSRU that they talk about, than that can possibly provide. So you need a much bigger facility planned for Ireland. And when I say plan for Ireland, you build what you need for the immediate future. And you have the capacity then to expand it if you need.
I mean, what's being talked about at the moment is probably a ship as our storage.
It is a great big ship. And I remember seeing one of these FSRUs up in Klaipėda in Lithuania. And they're very impressive, but they are very small compared to the facilities I saw in ports such as Finucca in Ghent, in Milford Haven and in Isle of Grain in London.
OK, so LNG may not be the solution unless we build and build big. What about nuclear? We have a legal prohibition on nuclear development here.
Yeah, I spoke to you about it guts of a year ago on nuclear. The issue of nuclear has a huge amount of potential, small modular reactors. But in our report, we put them into the same category as hydrogen and as floating offshore. They may deliver in the future. And we should work to be prepared to bring on board that technology if and when it's proven
elsewhere. So we should have a legislative framework developed for that. I've been looking over the last few years at molten salt reactors, which was a technology developed in the 50s and then abandoned in favour of what was subsequently built. But it's a technology that is attractive on the basis that it's fail-safe. If any technology is fail-safe, this is. If it goes wrong, it shuts down. It cannot continue.
Absolutely. The technology being developed by Natrium and Bill Gates' backed company, it looks on paper to be magnificent. It is yet to be proven. But if it is proven, what the technology is, they use liquid sodium as the coolant. And they have a generation station which can export into a molten salt store, like a Turlock Hill of molten salt, energy to be used later to generate steam to drive generators. So that is really exciting. But we could not make a plan in Ireland today based on relying on that technology because it's not yet proven. Mm. But we should be doing what the Estonians have done. The Estonians have gone to the extent of getting themselves prepared, getting the legislation in place that would allow nuclear. And there's an awful lot of work needs to be done. You can't just decide today where we're going to go nuclear. There's probably 5 years of preparation work to get your ducks in order. You have to have a regulatory environment. You have to have all of the monitoring in place, worked out how you're going to license
and
all
we've
of this.
Said no, so none of that work has been ongoing.
None of that is happening. And it's just a dead hand.
Now, that molten salt technology, which, as you say, awaits to be proven, in theory it works really well and is very safe. What about the small modular nuclear reactors? I mean, we know that they have, on nuclear submarines and aircraft carriers, they have small nuclear reactors that power those pieces of equipment. Why isn't that technology readily transferable on shore? It's small.
Well, the types of reactors we just spoke about, those are being proposed by Bill Gates as small modular reactors up to about 500 megawatts. So it's a really good question. Why hasn't the SMR technology moved more quickly? I think what it boils down to, Pat, anyone involved in licensing nuclear is ultra, ultra cautious. The standards that these plants have to reach in terms of their design to get approval of their designs is enormously onerous.
But I'm just wondering, is it that the lads are under the sea in a nuclear submarine? If it goes wrong, ta-da, goodbye, that's it. It's a few people. If such a thing was to go wrong close to a city, that the consequences might be catastrophic. Is that the fundamental reason?
I think the licensing requirements for military applications are probably slightly easier than they are for civil applications.
But an aircraft carrier is a small city, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was on the JFK in Dunleary 20 years ago, and it is just an extraordinary sight. And here we have ships which have all of this small modular technology and is tried-tested and proven. It is quite likely, I think, that technology is going to come on stream maybe in the mid-2030s. We should in Ireland, as we recommended in the last report, be preparing ourselves for the eventuality that it is an option so we can move at reasonable speed and don't do what we always do in Ireland, wait until the problem crystallises to start work.
Now, what does the report say about self-generation, whether, you know, every farmhouse has a small windmill, for example, and solar panels on the barn? Every home, a suburban home or cottage in the West has solar panels on the roof. Every school has solar panels, every office block. What is your report saying about that possibility of reducing the demand from the grid by local generation?
We don't go into that fine level of detail. We are dealing at the big project level. So our perspective in this report is what technologies are available, project delivery, what's realistic to do. But to answer your question, we do see huge potential in Ireland for more solar. Some of that is grid scale. Some of that is behind the meter. I have solar panels in my house and I'm one of these anally boring people opening up my app all the time to see how it's gone. There is huge potential for that. And we do have an interesting table in the report where we show the amount of electricity in Ireland, in Britain, in the Netherlands and other countries produced by solar. The Netherlands is at 17% of their electricity from solar. That is phenomenal. Those figures come from Ember, and a crowd called Ember, and they try to estimate the behind the meter component. So we'd be hugely supportive of the deployment of solar wherever it is possible and feasible.
All right. And that will have to be incentivized. It's already incentivized with the SEAI, but perhaps more needs to be done.
It's what you get for every unit that you export. We all want more. You don't get a whole lot. But if there's enough of this put out, you definitely take out a lot of demand from what
that's
the big
the point.
Scale.
Insulation and solar panels on the roof, and you reduce a huge amount of demand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the last thing really is the price that we pay for our domestic electricity. It's so much higher. Before taxes, it's the highest in Europe by a mile. And even after taxes, we're number three and we're well above the European average. What are we doing wrong?
That's a fantastic question. There is a really important piece of work we in the Academy think needs to be done to understand the economics of electricity in Ireland. Why is it at the level that it's at? I think it's unlikely that work is going to show that there's a huge amount of money being wasted, incidentally. There are factors such as our geographical dispersion.
Sure, but there's also the auction system they have, which is daft.
Well, if we look to the future, and going back to the issue of export, we think there's a real danger that we could put in too much wind, which from the generator's point of view has a guaranteed price. Either they get it in the market or they get it from you or me through the PSO. And that's what we could end up doing is subsidising exports. that Irish consumers, through their bills and the PSO, could end up subsidising exports. So I think what needs to happen is there needs to be a detailed piece of work done to really understand what is the makeup of the costs of the Irish electricity system. And on top of that, then, to look at the impact of all of these contracts for difference with their guaranteed prices to generators.
Finally, this report published today, is it available to the general public?
It is. It's available on the website. So it's the Irish Academy of Engineering. The website is very simple, iae.ie.
iae.ie. And Eamon O'Reilly, Chairman of the Energy and Climate Action Committee of the Irish Academy of Engineering. Eamon, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.